rock and the glory of Hashem, right? Man and the glory going to come together. And as you know from the text, Moses goes up in a puff of smoke because the glory, no, it didn't go up in a puff of smoke. I just seen if you're awake. But why didn't he go up in a puff of smoke is the question, which is part of the burning bush. It started with the burning bush. Why wasn't the bush consumed? The same reason that Moshe is not consumed, even though the fire of God is on him, right? Okay, so in verse 21 through 23, Hashem says, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand. And you will see my back, but not my face, because you can't see my face and live. And earlier they saw his feet, remember, and underneath his feet, talk about anthropomorphisms. You get that word, anthropomorphisms? That's attributing human aspects to Hashem. And so he has feet and hand and face here. But man is not going to actually see the glory because he's going to see the glory, but he's going to be shielded from it so he can survive it, right? And so Moshe survives. So he says, carve out two more tablets and come on up. I love that phrase. God says to man, come on up. Whoopee! One of these days you might hear that. Come on up. Right? One of these days, not to, and it maybe is call your name. Hey, come on up. Marty, and I'll go, I can't. And Marty, come on. I can't. I'm scared of heights. And So, I don't know, pray for me. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Moshe and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moshe, and he proclaims these things. And so this is what we're going to look at here. We touched on it last week as I closed, but I wished that we could get the CD from this episode. Because then we'd know how to proclaim the name, because no one knows how to say the name. And so, of course, with our Jewish friends, it's Hashem, the name. The name we don't know how to say, and so we shouldn't say it because we should protect the holiness of the name. And so my name is not Mary. See, don't call me Mary. My name's Marty. It sounds about right, but hey, it's not right. So just, okay, we're moving along. And in Israel, they call me Morty, which is short for Mordecai. But Mordecai from Hadassah. But anyway, someday we'll get the tape. Or no, someday he'll come and he'll reveal the holy name of God to us so we can use it. Right? And then we'll be able to use it with confidence. And I think that is one of the greatest blessings that will be given to us when we become face-to-face with Yeshua, like Moshe was here, okay? He will come and teach us. All right, so in verse 6, and he passed in front of Moshe in the cleft of the rock behind his hand, and Moshe is in the kavod of God, the glory of God. He sees, and it has revealed to him the glory of God, and some of this revelation comes in what Hashem says in this verse, and this is cool. It's Yod Heh Vav Heh, Yod Heh Vav Heh. Twice we have the tetragrammaton. And then the word El, which is El, which is the name of God in Genesis 1:1, is El, Elohim. And El like is the power God. And then we have Racham, and Racham is the mercy. You know, Eitan Shishkov's ministry is Rachamim, mercies of, tents of mercy. And then we have Henun, which is the gracious word. Chen in Hebrew is grace. So then we have the word slow to anger, and which at that point you can say amen. For any of you that are like me, you are very happy about this, that he's slow to anger. That's why some of us live to be over 50, right? Because he's patient. All right, and then we have Rabba Chesed. And you know, Todah Rabbah is thanks much. Rabbah is much or great, and chesed, we know the chesed word is the word that I have my definition of it is above the dubbing machine over there, and it's a whole paragraph on how to describe the word chesed. Okay, but it's actually much in goodness is the way you can translate it. Much in goodness. How do you like that? All right? Okay. And then we have the word Emmet, which you know Emmet. I think Yirmiyahu, Jeremy, Rabbi Jeremy talked about Emmet, right? Which is truth. It starts with an Aleph. Aleph, Mem, Tav. And if you an Aleph is kind of represents the name of God in a lot of ways in the Bible. If you erase the Aleph, you have Met instead of Emmet. And Met is death. When you take God out of truth, all you have left is death. See, so it won't work. Oh, anyway, but that's truth or faithfulness. The faith, faithfulness, it's all from the same root, emuna, and that's what Jeremy was talking about. Hesed for thousands, and then forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Okay, so that's what is revealed here, and you can read it in your English. The Lord, the compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's the NIV version. Okay, so you got to love it, though, and do the word studies on these things in the Hebrew. Get your Hebrew word study out and look these things up, because it is much, okay? It's Rabbah to you, how great this revelation of God's glory is. And the whole rest of the Bible can come out of this, all these adjectives and attributes here. But this forgiveness word is not NASA, like N-A-S-A, like space, NASA, NASA, NASA. And that is the word for forgiveness here. And this forgiveness is like the glory of God. And this is important to us because man needs NASA. Man needs forgiveness, right? We all need forgiveness. And so this is one of the things that is in God's revelation of the who he is. NASA has three meanings. I looked up this word in the Hebrew, and it has three meanings. Forgiveness has three meanings here. Listen to this. To lift up. How were we forgiven? He was lifted up. It means to carry away. He was lifted up and carried away. And the other one is to take away. He was lifted up and carried away or took away our guilt. And so all three ways that you can describe NASA apply to Messiah's execution for us. All three of them. You could pick any of them and they work. Right? So in this glory of God, all three of these apply. He was lifted up as our substitute to take away our guilt. Hallelujah. And why would he do this? Why would God do this? Because he is merciful, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and truth and faithfulness, keeping hesed, everlasting love and kindness to us. See, the reason he forgives is because of the who he is revealed in the glory of God here to Moshe. All right. So he said, show me your glory. Look upon me who was pierced. And when Moshe saw the glory of God and saw these words or heard these words, God was revealing to him who he is. Who is this person of God? What is he like? How does he feel about things? Remember, we talked about the who he is last week. And so what was revealed is that he is the merciful, forgiving, loving God. And so when we say, show me your glory, Moshe saw that. But what would we see if today we say to the Lord, to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh-Hashem, show us your glory? He might just say, Zechariah 12, or he would show us, look upon me whom was pierced. The glory of God today in the earth is the execution of Messiah for man's sin. This is the same revelation, but it starts here with Israel's early history at Sinai with the glory of God being revealed. Before the rest of the law is given, first God shows the who he is. So I say the Messiah's death is the glory of God. Then the text says, and you could stay there forever, if you want, you could just stop your Bible there and just stay there forever, but we'll move on. The glory of God is the execution of Messiah for me. And you could just live in that for the rest of your life. But what does Moshe do here? And Moshe immediately bows down
and worships the Lord. So what is a forgiven man to do? What is a forgiven person to do in this life? He is to worship because of the goodness of God.
So I believe this text is a small picture of the huge entire plan. The Bible ends kind of in the same picture right here. How does the Bible end? And they worshiped the Lamb standing in the center of the throne looking as if he had been slain. That's the same picture. It's just become full. Moshe sees it in the infancy. So that Lamb that is standing in the center of the throne looking as if he had been slain is really the reality of the revelation of the who our God is. For us now today, and pretty soon, in person. In person. All right? Worship today because you're going to see him in person soon enough. That day will be no time to start learning how to worship. Although you will. But that is not the time to start. Be a veteran when that day comes. Be a worshiper. Let him find you worshiping when he comes. Don't wait. You've been forgiven now. The glory is here now. So we sang that song, that we played that song earlier, that Stearns' song, the Bride, and it says in that we will see his face. Now, Moshe didn't get to see the face because he couldn't have survived. But in the Messiah, we will see his face and live through it. Good, amen? And then what will we do? We'll probably do what Moshe did. There'll be some worship. All right. You guys, I love you guys. So now, verse 7b, we already talked about as an insert here, and we don't need to go over that again, except that there's no such thing as this generational curse thing. We already talked about this. There's no such thing as generational curses in the Bible. There were four generations with the golden calf, and those are the four generations spoken of here. They all sinned, and they're all going to die in the wilderness without reaching the promised land. So that is the context of this verse about not leaving the guilty unpunished, but punishing the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. That never happened except in the wilderness, and it does not happen today. If it does happen today, you can't pray against it because it's God that did it. And so when people were praying to break generational curses, they shouldn't use this text. They should come up with a different verse, which there is no other verse. So the question is, can the devil create generational curses? There's no verse for it. Okay, so all sin is just deal with it the same way. Identify, admit, repent, be cleansed. All sin is forgiven in the New Testament. All sin is forgiven past this text in the Tanakh. And God repeatedly says, I will punish only the person that sins for his sin. He will not punish the children for the grandpa's sin anymore after this text. And all four generations were present when that happened. So that's the answer to that. I won't have to go into that anymore, except don't be condemned or think that my grandpa was a rotten dude, and so that's why I have such bad cards dealt to me. Okay, what do you do? Use the name, the blood, the word, and worship. That's all you have to do. All the problems. Use the blood for forgiveness of your sin and the name of Yeshua, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Elohim, however many words you want to use. You can pile all of them up. We got a book on all the names of God. Just use them all if you want. And use the Bible, which says that he forgives all sin, and then worship, for crying out loud. The devil can't hang out in the worship, okay? If you're being menaced by demons or something, just worship. They can't take it, okay? Worship. Oh, man, it's the answer. Oh, glorious grace, I love you guys. Moses did it in verse 8. Okay, before we move on, these descriptions on the who God is, remember Moshe said, show me your glory, because he wanted to know God.
This is what it said last week's text. Remember, I want to know you so I can know you and continue to find favor in your eyes. And so it's, what is he like? And in Judaism, what Moshe saw and heard here in this glory revelation or had revealed to him leads to how to pray for mercy in Judaism. And I thought, you know, and we don't teach really Judaism, rabbinic Judaism stuff here very much, but it's fascinating how it does come from the Bible here. This whole context here is just after Hashem said he would destroy them. Remember the context here that we have? God just told Moshe, I'm going to destroy these people. Well, then he says, okay, I won't destroy them because of the Moses matrix, but I won't go with you because these guys behave so badly that I'll end up destroying them later. So it's just best I don't go. And so now Moshe deals with God, and they go back and forth. And now God says, I will go with you. So both of those bad things have been reversed, and now God's going with them, right? Now what happens, God reveals himself as these attributes here of mercy, and Judaism prays back these attributes to Hashem for mercy. And so I really liked it because it really is cool stuff. And we could borrow some of the same prayer ideas today. But just to touch on these points, the Jews say that, why is Hashem's name twice here? Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the name which brings mercy. It's considered the merciful name of God. The Father loves, the Son does, remember? So the Father is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, as it were, and that is the loving aspect of God. And so it's stated twice because there's two types of mercy. The first is because God is merciful before man sins, because he knows sin is in man and he's going to sin pretty soon anyway. He just knows it. So he says God is merciful before man sins. I thought that was cool because tomorrow's coming. And you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? Probably sin. Not very much. See, the Jews, they understand God is merciful because tomorrow is coming and God's going to forgive before man even sins. He's going to extend that mercy forward. So when it happens, God's already there with his arms out. Isn't that good? I love it. Because he knows this. But the second reason, or the second use of the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, is because God is also merciful after man sins. So before he sins and after he sins. That's great news, isn't it? Especially if some of you have condemnation. And I remember Kim Richmond taught on his program one time on the internet that I watched, is the fact that how wonderful it is that God allows repentance. And that shocked me. And I even went to Pastor Diane's prayer meeting and talked about it, because I go, when we say, I'm going to repent, it's like we're going to do God a favor. Don't you kind of feel like I'm going to do God a favor and I'm going to repent? You know, you have that feeling? See, can you identify with that a little bit? I'm being nice to God because I'm going to repent. I'm going to be good. But Kim Richmond said, it's only the mercy of God that he allows repentance. It's a gift from God that he lets you repent. He could just destroy it. I know they're going to sin eventually. Just destroy them today. No, that's the first Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Well, they will sin. I'll destroy them then. That's the second Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. No, he won't. He'll forgive. So anyway, I got to love it because I have sinned in the past. Mike still does. Okay. Oh, man. Okay, but really it's the mercy of God that allows, as Kim said, God allows us to return to him, and that's mercy. And this is the story that Yeshua told with the prodigal son. That God, and of course, Kim doesn't do New Testament, but the story by the Jew in the New Testament is the same story. He lets us return, even with outstretched arms, excited, throws a party. Glory! I don't know, who is this God? What is he like?
What is his nature? Who is? El comes from the tetragrammaton. That's the next word in the text here, is the E-L word for God, Elohim. And El comes from, comes after the tetragrammaton twice here. It's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, El. And it is the power name, or it gets translated Almighty God. And it's the mighty power God. And so this is interesting because it is the loving, forgiving God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, but it is not in weakness. He is the all-powerful God. And in man's mind, when you're all-powerful, you can do judgment and execute and be mean. The tough guy on the block, the bully. It sounds like, see, but El here in God's way, he is all-powerful and still chooses forgiveness, mercy, and love. It isn't because he is not powerful. That reminded me of Schindler's List. Remember the Jew in Schindler's List when the guy is shooting people in the yard out there? The Nazis shooting Jews. And he goes, well, anybody can shoot people, but the real power is in letting them live. And this Nazi thinks about it. To let them live. And then he shook it off and shot more Jews. But see, that's really kind of the concept here that come from the Jews that made the movie, is real power, real strength comes not in punching somebody, but in forgiving somebody. That's the context here. All right, so we're moving along, right? Okay, and so now we have the word Rakam twice, which is the mercy word, right? It is the compassionate word. And he and the Jews say he eases the punishment of the guilty. So they're guilty, and he eases the punishment and protects them from temptation. That's the first use of rakam. And the second use of rakam, because it's used twice here, is he is gracious or merciful to the undeserving. Even to the one who has no good in him, God is merciful. And so maybe that might give someone hope. To the person that has no good in him, never has done one good thing, God is still rakam, merciful, compassionate, kind. I tell you, I don't know who could describe this God of ours, but oh, what's the next thing? Slow to anger. With both, and the Jews say, with both the righteous and the wicked, God is patient. And we would say amen on that, and we're glad. And I thought about Noah's Ark. How long did it take to build the Ark? 400 years or something. How patient is God anyway? I mean, by the time Noah finished the Ark, the first part of it was an antique. And that's how slow to anger he is, right? So now we have this abundant in chesed. Like I said, Rabbah chesed. This is great in goodness. And he is kind even to the one who lacks anything good. Also, if a person is half bad and half good, he'll tip the scales toward the good. He's just much goodness. Rabbah chesed. Okay? We'll move in here. Oh, now the next word is emet. So this is what God spoke to Moshe, and this is the revelation of the glory, is all these words. I tell you, it's hard to handle. Truth, he never reneges on the who he is. As revealed to us in his word, he will never renege on who he is, right? And you can do Romans 9, 10, 11. Why is Romans 9, 10, 11 in the book of Romans, which is our Jewish insert? It's a insert into the book of Romans, because Romans is dealing with the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man. And Shaul has to insert 9, 10, and 11 because he has to maintain that God will keep his word. True, because he has to show us that even though God has been rejected by Israel for the most part, God will not renege on his covenant promises to Israel, and that he will not reject Israel. And that's why 9, 10, 11 is in the book of Romans, is because of Emmet. He's true. And so God has to be true. And so if he can ditch Israel, abandon Israel, then he can abandon you. Same covenant, right?
So Paul has to show he will not stop his covenant. He will not lie. He will be true to his word. And so therefore we can emuna, same root word, emet emuna. Emuna is we can trust. We can trust that he will never leave us or forsake us because he will never leave or forsake Israel. If God forsakes Israel, the church can be forsaken. And this is something the church needs to deal with in their anti-Semitism. Lord God. Okay, emuna is the trust word, and so because we can trust him, because he is emet, true, we can say amen, which comes from the same root. The reason you say amen is because it's trustworthy, because it's true. In the Revelation, I am the amen, faithful and true. All same word. Okay. All right, so it's a blessing in these last days, anyway, to be able to trust in something, isn't it? With the whole world going dogs around us, we can trust in something because it's true. And so you can just say, amen. Turn the news off and say, amen. Hallelujah. Lord God. Just go back to Exodus 34 and read, I am compassionate to you. I'm abounding in goodness to you. I'll forgive you before you ever sinned. Oh, goodness gracious, you guys. I love you. Okay, kind of thousands. Keeping has said, and in the Jewish Bible it says thousands of generations instead of just thousands of people, okay, which is probably cool. But it says the word there is to preserve kindness. So the kindness aspect of God preserves, it perseveres, it continues on, and it is eternal, right? Okay, there's 13 attributes here, and we're at number 10 is, and forgiving. Once again, we come to the nasa word, and earlier we saw how this word has three meanings. Now, the sin he forgives is in three parts, okay? And this will finish us up. The first one is iniquity, which is just intentional sin. By gollies, I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to do it. And that's iniquity. That is intentional sin. And then there's willful sin. Now, this one's tough on me. Oh, this one worries me. This one concerns me. A sin to intentionally provoke the anger of God. Now, I don't believe you all are involved in this ever. But this country is involved in it right now. This country is in the face of God saying, I'm going to do this, and there's nothing you can do about it because I don't believe in you, I don't care about you, I don't respect you, and I believe the lie, and I want to walk in evil and darkness and reject the Bible and the truth. That's willful sin that the Jews talk about here. Oh, Lord. And then the third kind of sin is the unintentional sin. That's the only kind I've ever done. And no, it's just carelessness. You didn't mean it, but you forgot and turned the light on Shabbat. That would be an unintentional sin to the Jew, right? This is why they sell little covers you put on the light switches. So on Friday night, they turn the light on and put a cover on it so you can't forget and turn it on and make fire on Shabbat. Okay, we're moving along. Okay, now, the last one isn't in most translations. This word is nakah, and it's not in the translations because it looks funny in the text. But after the word sin here, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, there is this word nakah, and they don't deal with it. But this is some of the best part because I looked up this word that's not in my Bible. I have to read it in the Hebrew Bible. But it means to be free, clean, and pure. Anybody interested in those words? These forgiving attributes of Hashem end with nakah. And so it's not only that you're forgiven, or like he looks the other way, as it were, but even more so, it is to actually be pure. To be clean, and I love this, to be free. So this is like the best of the best, and it's realized in full, I believe, by Messiah's work. I have come to set you free. He makes us pure and clean. What does our sin become like? White as snow. I was walking in the snow the other day, and the sun is out, the sky is blue, and the snow is so white. And I thought, there's my sin. There's my sin right there.
So when the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings, we will go out like calves released from the stall. You're free. Calves released from the stall are like skipping kids, like we dance. They're happy. Free people are happy people. In the judicial sense, this nakah words mean to be found innocent. To go unpunished. To be found innocent. So the 13th attribute of mercy from Exodus 34 sounds like the Gospels to me. This whole thing's a Jew thing. The whole thing's Jewish. This is in Exodus. That's Old Testament. Tanakh, Torah. Where does this sound? What does it sound like? Sounds like the Gospels.
It's all just a Jewish thing, right?
Sounds like Yeshua. How easy for the natural branches to be placed back in their own tree, huh? Remember in Romans 11, Paul says, the problem with these branches is these unnatural branches, they're against nature. How are they going to get grafted into a tree that's against nature? They're unnatural. How can God do such a thing? Well, I'm glad he found a way. But then how easy to put the natural branches. They're already at home. They don't have to learn anything. They just need to slip back in. When they look upon him, wound was pierced. How easy. Well, this is the great revelation of the who God is. And Moshe saw it, had it revealed to him, and what did he do? He immediately bowed down and worshiped. That's all man can do when he sees Hashem. When he sees the who our God is. It's not like the Muslim God where you just hope he doesn't kill you. It's not like these other false gods who are angry gods that you try to behave so they won't be as mad. No. When you get the full and emmet, correct, true revelation of who our God is, there's only one thing left you can do. And that's worship. It's just too good. It's just too good. In Yeshua HaMashiach, in verse 10, he says, then I will do Pella, wonders. And then he says, you'll see Nora, which is the awesome word. Wonders and awesome, that's our God. I don't know if I can handle it. Can you handle it? Who wants to try to handle it? Who wants to be up front when this stuff is coming down, huh? Who wants to find out if they can handle it? I knew it. See, you guys are like this. You guys are always like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, hallelujah, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, hallelujah. Yah varekecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Yair Adonai panaveleka v'chunecha. Yiso Adonai panaveleka v'yoseim l'ka shalom v'shem. Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom, Shabbat Shalom.